I've been ministering all day long to brethren and off and on practically all day, which is kind of a routine with us, kind of trying to talk to the Lord and trying to walk in the Spirit. The Bible said if you're born of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Some great things is taking place, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be in this wonderful move of God. Now, everything is not the move of God. A lot of people feel like, well, Brother Pike, we're in the move of God. We're moving right on with God. Well, maybe not. But everything is not the move of God. Just because it's religion, it don't mean it's the move of God. The move of God isn't just going to church and having service and clapping your hands and praising the Lord. That is worshiping God. That is being in the church. And that's doing something for God. As far as doing something for God, that's great. That's wonderful. See, but the move of God, what the move of God is where Paul spoke of this thing of where he said, let us go on. Let us go on. When you go on, then you're moving. And when you're moving in God, that is the move of God. So then let us go on to perfection. Let us not turn again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and faith toward God, but let us go on. And it was in the Old Testament that we find that when the cloud stayed, then the tent stayed. And when the cloud moved, the move of God was on and they went on. So then the move of God was when the cloud moved. And when they stayed, they did what they were supposed to do. They worshiped God. They carried on their work. They were still walking with the Lord. But then came the move of God. So there's a move of God in the world today, and I want to be in the move of God. We sing that song, Move On, Brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. So when I hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, I know the move is on. So it says here in the 11th chapter, and I want you to notice this now. This is in the middle of Daniel's week. I hope I can just kind of take my time and talk to you a little bit. I've been talking to you a little bit fast in the last few services. And I wanted to slow down and talk to you. I usually try to do that. And I wanted to slow down and talk to you. I won't get to say as much, but at least I'll say a few things maybe that will be a little more definite as to you receiving them and retaining them. So much to be said, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of deep mysteries to be brought out. And we would just love to talk about it day and night without ceasing. But I'm a little bit hoarse tonight and want to slow down a little bit anyway in my talk. I try to talk just a little bit slower and makes it a lot better for you and for me to be able to conceive of what's being said. So I remind you again, this is in the middle of Daniel's week. This is the middle of Daniel's week when the angel has declared that time is no more. Time is no more. Now, you know, I just love to, when I say these things, I just love to reach over here and say, okay, folks, tonight we're going to talk about time. We're just going to talk about time, nothing but time tonight. So that we're going to understand time. And it would just thrill my soul. And then when we bring something else out, say, well, we'll take this now and we'll talk on this for a whole week right here. And we'll discuss this because it's needful to do that. And try to detail this thing to where we can program your mind with these wonderful things of God in detail so that you can put them together and understand the transformating of the mind as from faith to faith and glory to glory toward the redemption of your body. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, why should I transformate in my mind? Well, a good question is this. Why should you translate into your spirit? Why should one translate in their spirit into the spirit of Christ? Why should they do that? Because if they don't do that, then they don't have eternal life. And if they don't do that in this world, they don't have eternal life. And if they don't do that in this world, they're never going to have eternal life. There's never going to come a day when they're going to have eternal life. There's never going to come a judgment when God is going to judge them and decide that they are worthy of eternal life. And just because they missed it in the world, that they're going to get it later. There'll never come a day like that. So then you get eternal life now, or you don't get eternal life. And so it's very needful that you be translated in your spirit. Because the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Not only was he translated as to the spirit, but his body was also transfigured and took out of this world. So there is a translation of the spirit. There is a transformation of the mind. There is a transfiguration of the body. A body, soul, and spirit. The mind goes back to the soul, back to the blood realm. And so then we know that there is these three things that sometimes in general we refer to them as transology, divine transology. It's given to the church that they should go through the process of divine transology. Inasmuch as Adam failed from the garden, then he had to be redeemed. And he had to be redeemed with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And tonight, if we could just take just on the blood alone and say things tonight, it would be so thrilling. We've been trying to get around to where we could do that. But when David stood here tonight, he said he had been listening to a tape born not of blood, but of spirit. See, and I tried to emphasize to you that there is a difference between being born of blood and born of spirit. Whereas someone would say, well, Brother Pike, we're all born of blood. And I know the Bible says that God hath made all nations of one blood. I understand that. See, and all of us are born of one blood as to the natural man. I understand that we are. But then on the other hand, there is another man. For the Bible said there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There is a terrestrial body and there is a celestial body. And there is a corruptible body and there is an incorruptible body. And as we have borne the image of the earthy as to the corruptible, which is the first man, Adam, through the fall, under sin and death, so have we been resurrected to bear the image of the second man, the quickening spirit, the second man, Adam, which came from heaven to change our bodies into this great, wonderful, celestial body to where we'll never have pain, we'll never have misery, we'll never age, we'll never die, we'll never be hungry, we'll never thirst, and the sun will never light upon us again. For the glory of God shall light the beautiful city of God, and we shall be the radiance of the radiating of that great day star that's dawned on the inside of us, and as though the sun shines within our strength, we will be the light of the world as stars in the heavens of God to shine forever and forever. So they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the sun and the brightness of the stars forever and ever. So when we get into this, we have to get into Revelation, because to say those things, you know, and to relate you to a star, that puts you at a complete loss, a total loss, unless you can go back to the first power and come to the second power and go to the third power, just like they do in school or in college. And you have to go through these things. And then when you go through them in detail, and you understand exactly what the stars are and what the moon is, and understand what people are and what the earth is and what the heavens are and what time is. What is time and what time is, and what eternity is and what life is and what death is. To understand those things, to know what they are. We talk about them and somebody says, well, I know what death is, Brother Pike. Death is when that thing comes and chokes you and you can't breathe anymore and they put you in a hole. We know that. And somebody says, well, I know what life is. Life is when you can say, breathe real deep, you know, and you're still alive and you can eat and drink and be merry. All of that's good, you know, that's wonderful. That's good. But that's not what it's about at all. That's not what it's about at all. That's not what life is. And that's not what death is. And somebody says, well, I know what time is. I know what time is. I got a clock. But that's not what it is at all. That's not what it is. Eternity, what is eternity? Someone says, well, I know what eternity is. How could you know what eternity is when you've never been eternal? You couldn't possibly know what eternity is. Only God can know what eternity is. So then that means that you don't know, and you can't learn, and you can't obtain unto it, and you can't fast and get to it, and you can't pray and get to it, you can't study and get to it, you can't do anything to get to it, you can't be nice and get to it, you can't look good and get to it, you can't do anything to get to it. You can't even get to salvation. You can't even repent and get to God. There's no way that you can even repent and get to God. And then you can't even seek God and find God. See, so what can you do? There's nothing that you can do. And this is what God wants you to understand. In our world today and all the things that we do, we credit so much to the flesh, so much to man, and so much to man's ability, what man can do, who man is, what man has accomplished. The same old thing that Nebuchadnezzar did when he walked down through Babylon and he said, look at my great handiwork, look at my ability, look at my skill and my talents, and look at what I've done. Isn't that what America's doing? Look at what we are. Look at our colleges. Look at our beautiful buildings. Look at our technology. Look at all of these great, wonderful architectural approaches that we have. Look at these great, mighty things. That's us, America says. But was it America or is it America? See, that's where we get all mixed up. Right there, the Bible said, when a man thinketh himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, that's where you're mixed up. We are not just nothing, we are something. Then why does the Bible say that the flesh profiteth nothing? Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus said it is nothing. And if you think it to be something, then you deceive yourself. Isn't that right? So then that means that the people must be deceived. Isn't that right? All right. So that's what we're talking about. But when you are born again, it is a different world. It is a different story. Somebody says, well, this is what I'm speaking of. I belong to the church. I didn't say anything about belonging to the church. As a matter of fact, belonging to the church is the worst thing that you could do unless you're born again, because God said all of my tables are filled with vomit. And when you join the church, then you have become vomit on his table. Because any time you join the church, think about it now, any time you join the church and you're not born again, then you know that you are vomit. You are vomit and you're on the table of God. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. What is vomit? He said, because you're lukewarm, I spewed you out of my mouth. That's vomit. When you're cold in the world, you're not considered vomit. You don't know. It's not charged to you. And when you are hot and fervent in the spirit, you're not considered vomit, but the blessed of the Lord. But when you are religious and lukewarm and you join the church, you are then vomit on God's table, and you stand at the door and you won't go in and you hinder everybody else's coming. Now, somebody said, give me Bible for that. All right. So then the Bible says, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Isn't that right? So then if you're not born again, are you saved? Jesus said, unless you be born again, Nicodemus, you'll never see the kingdom of God. So then are you born again? When do I get born again? When do I see the kingdom? Do I wait and pass from this life to another life? The Bible said the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Bible said, and the disciples preach the kingdom of God and preach that men should repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, neither shall they say, lo, here is the kingdom, or there is the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is within you, that you receive the kingdom. Repent and receive the kingdom of God. It's an inheritance. So then, if you're not born again and you join the church, then what are you on God's table? Vomit. All right, so we understand where we're going. Isn't that right? We understand what the preacher's saying. So when we realize this, then we know that there's something wrong in America today. If everything is right in America today, why isn't America being blessed? Didn't God promise to bless the nation that feared him? Didn't the Bible tell us that righteousness exalteth a nation? Didn't God exalt our nation from the time that Mr. Washington came and set this thing up, and Mr. Lincoln and the others that set special days for prayer, that turned to God and asked God's guidance? Didn't God bless this nation, and didn't this nation become the greatest nation in all of the world and the most desired and the most prosperous in all the world and the greatest, most intelligent? Someone would say, well, that's what we are today, the great intelligence. Today we are the great ignoramuses. Let's give the Lord a hand. They've turned their colleges into places of sodomites. They've got the bulldogs and the red devils and everything else. And the professors and the teachers are having parties together. Somebody say amen. Not only that, but your daughters, when you send them to college and you put them there, you're not kidding me and you're not kidding you. You know they're prostitutes, and you know when you send them, they're going to practice prostitution, but you don't see anything wrong with it. Somebody say amen. So it's not like you're blind and you don't know what you're doing. It's a sinful, adulterous generation. They've lost their sense of reasoning. They've left God out of the arrangement. They're not acknowledging God anymore. And because of that, God is rejecting America. He said, because thou hast rejected my word, I have rejected thee. So then God is rejecting America and rejecting the rest of the world. Israel has been rejected because of her foolishness and doing the things that she did. And God said, Israel, you played the harlot under every green tree. He said, I gave you the desire of your heart. I gave you everything you wanted. I took you into Canaan. I made you a great nation. And then you played around with your lovers and opened yourself to every unclean thing. He said, now go to your lovers and let your lovers give you all the good things. I'm going to stop giving you all the good things I got. And look what happened to Israel. And they went into chaos, and they went into the dark age. They went through the Holocaust. They went through the bloodshed and all the problems. And then he lifted up America, and he said, I will provoke you to jealousy, Israel, with a people that's not a people. For as is written all day long, I've stretched forth my hand to Israel, and they would none of me. He said, but I am going to be found of a people that sought me not. And I'm going to provoke you to jealousy with a people that's not a people. And he picked Paul and he said, Paul, I'm going to reveal Christ in your life. And I want you to go far hence to the Gentiles and get for me a bride, or for my son a bride. And so here we are, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now then, God, bringing America as to the new world, has at last rejected America. He has rejected America because he has gotten the bride. He has got what he wanted. He did what he wanted. He's ready to sift her now and drop out all of the other because he doesn't need it anymore. Though this sounds fantastic and awesome to you, when I say these things, somebody says, build our morale, build our morale. Why build your morale? All I can say to you concerning your morale is that hell is waiting for you. And hell hath enlarged itself without measure to meet a bunch of sodomites and adulterers and fornicators and liars and cheats and robbers and them of all of the government and everything of the world. For the Bible said the world and all that is in the world and everything, as including the people, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and all of these things is of the devil and of the flesh. And it's going to pass away, and it's waiting to be burned. It's the garbage dump. So then what's happening? God rejected America because she rejected God's word. And she calls that heresy, which God calls life. And she looks on the word of God as being something that is not the word of God, and calls it all kind of names and gives it all kind of applications to try to tear down the confidence of the Christian so that people will not listen at the word of God and believe that it's just some kind of a fad. But nevertheless, it continues on.
And they lift up their foolishness as to their own human reasoning, which is their ignorance. The Bible said being blinded by the ignorance that's within them, going on to science falsely so-called and the diplomacies of life, turning into animals and beasts and some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. While the saints of God are persecuted as in the early age when the Roman powers burned them at the stake, called them witches and called it heresy. Back today, the same old thing. So then, it is an adulterous generation. America's gone. Now, that's strange because right at this particular time in walking in the revelation of the Lord, walking in the Spirit of God, now is the time. Now is the time. The last episode. Now is the time. Somebody would say, I don't see a thing. I understand that. Bats never do. They go by their sensory. They go by their feel. Everybody in the world, listen now, everybody in the world is bats, blind, and they're bats and creatures of darkness, and they are beasts, and they are in the world, and they cannot see. They cannot see. And if the blind attempt to lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But see, you're not in the world. For God said, I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. And I made you to sit together in the heavenly places. And he said, ye that are in heaven, rejoice. Rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. Ye that are sitting in heaven. Ye that are in heaven, rejoice forevermore. For you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've killed the flesh. I nailed it to Calvary. And at death, your spirit went back to God who gave it. And that body is buried in a watery grave. And I've despised your image as to the dawning of the morning of that great, wonderful day of the breaking of the light, which was Calvary. And since that time, the true light shineth. And other men walk in darkness, and they love the darkness rather than light, as to their intellectual way of life is the old tree of knowledge, because their deeds are evil. So then, they that are in the world are blind, and they cannot see. It doesn't matter how much you tell them about Jesus. All it is a story to them. They can shout, they can sing, they can dance, some can even speak in tongues, as the Spirit of God is poured out upon them, as on the day of Pentecost. But when it comes to having Christianity, they don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't have Christ. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you all over again, speaking in tongues does not prove that you have the Holy Ghost, nor is speaking in tongues the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. When people teach you that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, it's all because they're just babies and don't understand what they're saying. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you'll have people on you everywhere. That's all right. We can take them all. Let them all come. That's all right. It's all right. Somebody says hallelujah. Say hallelujah. That's all right. Let them all come. It'll work out. Don't get afraid. So then that means that is not the proof of you having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, well, don't you believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues? I certainly do. I believe you can have the gift of tongues. I speak in tongues, Paul said, more than you all. Or that is, I have spoken in tongues many, many times in my life. I also have interpreted numbers of times in my life and prophesied numbers of times in my life. But still, that is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I've said to you so many times, if speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, then Paul was all mixed up, because he said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with unknown tongues. Could he be saying that somebody that prophesied was greater than the Holy Ghost? Oh no. So then he said, you're like children. He said, if you all speak in tongues, then people are going to say you're crazy. They don't understand what you're saying. Though you do well, he said, people don't understand what you're saying. For if you all speak with tongues, how shall the unlearned say amen, seeing he don't understand what you're saying? You know, I didn't know much about that when I was just a little feller in the Lord. But when I got into the foreign countries and I'd be sitting in a church and somebody would be preaching and I didn't know their language, I'd be sitting there and I could hear that so plain. And something would say, How can you occupy this corner as to say amen, seeing you don't understand what they say? And I thought, oh my God, I know what you're talking about now. So then that means that we don't teach that you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. And when it comes to baptizing in water and baptizing people in water by saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that is right. See, you thought I was going to say it the other way, didn't you? That is right. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that right? Shouldn't I say what the Bible says? Now, but when it comes to people doing that and understanding what the Bible says as to the revelation of that, when they baptize you by using the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that is wrong. Oh, somebody says, oh no. Oh yes. Said, but the Bible says, Brother Pike, to baptize in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the Bible says? Absolutely not. Somebody give the Lord a hand. You read it wrong. So then what does it say if it doesn't say that? It didn't say that. It said to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. Just one name for all three. And then I say again, when they went over to Pentecost and they tarried till the presence of Christ came, which was the Holy Ghost, which was the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When that Spirit came, it came in the name Jesus, and they were baptized in the name Jesus, and the same apostolic leaders, that's the foundation of that great city throughout eternity, that Abraham sought for the city with foundations, builder and maker God. So then when they got to Pentecost, or went over to the upper room and tarried, then when the Spirit of God came, the command was, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the man that had the keys to the kingdom was the man that gave the command. Come on, folks. The world is mixed up. That was given. So all of the apostles said, yea and amen. And 3,000 was added to the church. Why did they do that? I say this so often. Why did they do that? Why would people be so ignorant as to walk from this mountain over here? And over here it has said that you baptize these people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you go over there and baptize them in the name of Jesus. Peter, why did you do that? My, how contrary could Peter be? Now, isn't that something? You know Peter wasn't contrary. It means that Peter understood something that you and I didn't understand if we go the other way. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I tell you about me. I believe the Bible. Somebody told me one time, said, well, Peter just made a mistake. Said, that's all it was to it. But you know, that man being ignorant, though he was a Pentecostal leader, being so ignorant, he never stopped to think that the Protestant movement came out of the Catholic Church from Martin Luther. And that Peter was the first pope, supposedly. Are you listening? And that he came from Peter's regime. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, what do you mean? Who was it that said, let's build 3 tabernacles? Was it Paul? It was Peter. Isn't that what the Catholic Church did? The great Holy Trinity. How many of you believe? TBC. That ain't the way they call it. But anyway, you know, it's like a bunch of children playing around. Lipstick and powder and paint and ear bobs and all the things of the world. And the love of the world's in them. And they have to have a TBM. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get on one side of the hill or the other. We stand for something, one way or another. So then somebody said, well, are you mocking them? I don't do that. Elijah did that. So then that means that when we think of that, the man that says Peter made a mistake didn't realize that he come from the teachings of Peter. as to the Catholic Church, that is so called. So then it's like when I confronted the priest with this. And I said, sir, how is it the great Catholic Church has made such a great mistake? And he wanted to know what I was talking about. I said, Peter's the first pope, isn't he? Oh, yes. I said, well, why has the papacy of today strayed so far from the teachings of the first pope? He said, what do you mean? I said, the first pope said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the wonderful Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he sat there, as you very well know, spellbound. He didn't know what to say because he was such a great learned man. Italy and New York, priesthood for years. And he sat there and looked at me. He said, lo and behold, the whole Catholic Church is in error. And went and got baptized in Jesus' name. That sounds all right, don't it? Sounds all right. At least the man knew something good. Somebody said, well, I don't know, he was Catholic. Well, Martin Luther was Catholic. And besides that, the Catholic Pope said something good the other day. He said, women are not called to preach. Let's give the Lord honor. That's better than some Pentecostal preachers can do. So, if a thing's right, it's right. Isn't that right? Even when the devil quoted the scripture, it was still the scripture. Isn't that right? All right, somebody said, well, I didn't know you were going to preach on baptism in Jesus' name. I didn't either. But it's all right, isn't it? Might be somebody that needs to be baptized. No, that's not what we're trying to do tonight. I'm trying to bring something to you. Somebody said, well, we don't teach any doctrine. I don't mean this wrong, but like some people that came in from the Philippines, was in my home last night, over about 1 o'clock, and came in from Hawaii, and they were going to a certain man's meeting up in Carolinas that you're real familiar with. And it's a man that's real popular, great following. But like one of the fellows said, that was going to preach for him. So the first thing that the man said, we don't teach doctrine. Right there, that counseled the man out. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. Evidently, he wasn't weaned from the breast. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Somebody says, what do you mean? Hasn't got out of the diaper. Well, somebody says, well, what about that man, Brother Pike, that said that was wrong, that Peter made a mistake? In a few days, his wife dropped dead. His home was busted up. Another fella talking to him said, well, that ain't in my Bible. I said, well, of course it's in your Bible. He said, oh, no, it's not. I tore it out. So we can see where they're going. Isn't that right? So this is what I'm saying, folks. We are children of God with the doctrine of Christ Jesus. He that God sendeth will speak God's word, and God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are speaking God's word. America is rejected. Did you know that the American government is gone? Did you know that the world's government is gone? Did you know that this little seem to be nothing meeting that you come to here as the last episode represents the end of the world government? And did you know that the 4th of July ended that? And did you know that's why that God did not allow them to pop all their firecrackers and put up all their fireworks to celebrate their liberty and their freedom as to that great day of their independency? Because they don't have it anymore. But did you know that you do have it? And you'll be popping the firecrackers, and after a while, you'll be seeing the parade. Somebody say hallelujah. It had to go back to the saints of God at the sounding of the last trumpet. The Bible said the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ, that He should reign forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Had to be a time for it, and this is the time for it. And the Bible said, and they'll rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever, even the kingdoms of this world. And so then it was set up with Mr. Washington. It should be separation of church and state. And I wish we had time to detail the revelation tonight of these wonderful things and of what is happening in this strange thing. Oh, we could say a lot of things tonight. Some things I mentioned to Brother David Paul just before I left home and to my wife concerning this, but take my word for it. It happened. And when your flag went up, one day, I believe it was after the 4th of July, it indicated that when you put your flag up and wherever you put it, he said, I'll give it to you where you set your feet. And when you put your flag up, then you possess the land. Isn't that right? How do you know that Mr. Reagan took our flag? How do you know Mr. Bush? How do you know? Or how many of you do know that Mr. Bush took the flag? How do you know that we possess the land? You'll see it. You'll see it. It'll come right on down the line. You'll see it. See, you are great and mighty people. You are so great and mighty that I am not adequate to speak to you. As to adequacy, I am not able, as Moses said. I'm not eloquent. I'm not adequate for the purpose. I'm depending strictly upon God to address so great a people as people that are God's, and that's not a statement. That's not just a flattery. I'm telling you that in our midst is God's that rule, will rule and reign and live forever. God's, eternal God's are right here in Bethlehem right now. Now, somebody said, well, you expect me to believe that? You might be sitting close to one of them. Let's give the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. They've got your life in their hand. Those men run over to Elijah and they said, see here. See here, Mr. Prophet. The king said, you will come to visit with him. He said, fire, you can have them. 50 of them went away. Another batch come and they said, you will go with us. He said, the fire can have you too. And you know what? The next batch that come, it says, falling down as if to say, Mr. Prophet, would you have mercy? Would you please honor us? He said, that's all right. Had a little talk with him. See, these people that are sitting by you, be careful. They've got your life in their hand. For the Bible said they'll rule with a rod of iron. They'll break the nations into pieces. The nations into pieces. It's what they believe. It's what they say. They have whatever they say. Whatever they decree in their heart. It doesn't matter what it is. See, they have it. They're babies right now. And they haven't grown up to the full understanding to know what's going on. That doesn't dwarf them any in their ability. For the Bible said, this babe, just as quick as he's born, is caught up to the throne. To rule with a rod of iron. So you're already translated into the kingdom. You're already there with the rod of iron. And you're already ready to rule. And any time you come to your understanding, you'll be all right. Like the little one I heard about the other day. He was 9 months old and he was talking. That's pretty early, isn't it? 3 years old, was it? 3 years old. And what was it he was doing? Was he working algebra? What? I can't remember. But anyway, whatever it was, this little phenomenal fella, you know, that's what you are. You are a proper child. You are a phenomenal fella. And you are a special person. And you are God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if you flatter a person, don't you dig a pit for them? Yes. I hope none of you are taking flattery, because I don't mean this as flattery. And if you're taking flattery, it's because you belong to the pit. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm talking to gods. I'm talking about people that are not flattered, but people that have faith in God. And Jesus said, you're gods. And these people know who they are, and they believe what they are, and they're born of God, because as David Paul said, you're not born of blood. You are born again, and you're born of the mighty spirit of eternal God. And you're to rule and reign forever. And this is why I dropped in a little bit of doctrine tonight. Have a doctrine. See, in dropping in a little bit of doctrine tonight, I would like to say a lot tonight concerning the sounding of the last trump. But just introducing a thought or two tonight, we know that having the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues and you can run up and down the beach in bathing suits, and you can sit and watch television and all the non-virtuous things on there and keep up with the baseball score and go out to the ball games and all these kind of things and die and go to hell. Someone would say, well, why would that be, Brother Pike, just doing those things? Well, the reason it would be is because the carnal mind is enmity with God, and that's a mind of carnality. And the reason it is because the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there, and that is the love of the world. Somebody say amen. So then that means that you can do all of those things and still die and go to hell. And it can be that the Spirit of God is upon you and you can still die and go to hell. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when we look at this, it's like the rain that's coming down now. Somebody says, oh my, this rain. But we really needed the rain. The tables were low as to the water table. And somebody said, well, I think it's strange. It's just hovering right over Georgia. I think it's great. Some of them up north said, we wish we could get some of that rain. Someone said, well, why do you think it's so great, Brother Pike? Well, the flood has to do with them animals across the street and what we said about the new world, the new government. But nevertheless, we don't have time to get into those kind of things. But why do you say it's great? Well, I believe they called that tropical storm, was it Alberta? What did they call that? Can you tell me? Alberta. Do you remember what Al's name was? Does anybody remember his name? And we always spoke of him as the double potion. You remember that rod I had when I said rain, rain, rain. And it just poured down. This is just the ideal time at the chains. And if Alberta wants to hover over Georgia, I think it's all right, don't you? Somebody say hallelujah. It's just the way you look at it. That's all. Just the way you look at it. Hallelujah. All right, let's everybody stand together. Just a few little words of exhortation tonight to encourage you to go on with the Lord. It's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful thing. Anytime you serve God, it's a wonderful, wonderful moment. And you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. And the Bible says, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. So then, how much did the Father make known unto Jesus? All things. So you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. Nobody's going to know when the Lord comes. The Bible says so. Well, that's all right for you, but that's not all right for us because our Bible didn't say so. Our Bible didn't say that. As a matter of fact, it said to the contrary, all things. And all things takes in that too. And the Bible said, and ye shall not be as the world, for this shall come upon the world unawares. And as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. But unto you it shall not be as a snare, for ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door, just turn the knob. You'll know. So we know, and we can thank God because of the wonderful blessings of God is upon us and here with us, and we're going on with God to do what we can and do the camp meeting. We're going to try to enjoy the wonderful things of God. We'd like for you to come invite somebody out. And as far as I know, I'm just speculating, but as far as I know, maybe go into the tent tomorrow night. The revival is gone according to what I understood would do. I understood that no matter how many tents they said or whatever they said, that it would come into the church. And I said, there won't be no need in being in a hurry to set the tent, because I understood it was to come into the church, and it did. It's been here night after night, even tonight. They'd considered putting it under the tent, but I kind of felt like it would be in the church, even though it was firing up today. And it's here for a purpose. So you pray not that we get under the tent, nor that we stay in the church, but pray, Father, thy will be done. Don't pray that you're going to be a great evangelist or some great spectacular person or a great missionary or a great wealthy person or a movie star or a great celebrity or a dignitary. Don't pray that you're going to be somebody special, but pray, Father, thy will be done. And when you pray, Father, thy will be done, then the Lord will notice you and the Lord will work with you. And then pray. While you're praying, believe. And acknowledge the word of the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. And you'll have a good time in God. You'll have a happy life. But if you don't do that, you won't have anything. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room. The altars are open if you'd like to come. It's for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Tonight, remember, we are a new creature. We are resurrected from the dead. We are alive forevermore. We are God's. The government now belongs to us. God has made the great change, and he was deputed into the hands of the saints of God just before the body is changed. It will not be noticed in the earth as to the change until the middle of Daniel's week, when the Jews come in and when Antichrist closes in on them in the latter part of the closing in, the Jews will rise in militant force and Jesus will return, Revelation 19, executing authority. The blood will come to the horse's bridle and they will set up the great millennium of God. But before the church goes out, it must conquer death. It must move the curse. It must take the kingdoms of this world. And the mysteries of God must be finished. For the things of God have an end. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the original rendering of the thing, of the finishing of the mystery, said, and the secrets of God shall be finished. And we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, therefore we also are in the secret places of the Most High. So then in this, as we come together as a new government, as a new order, the new world order, while they're struggling to bring about the new world order, God has already given you the new world order. And you are in a new world. The Bible says, since God saved you, you are in a new world. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you are a new creature in God. You're not the same creature that you one time was, but you are a new creature in God. You now have the government. It don't matter about the races. Let them fuss and feud. They're just a bunch of ignorant people. They're just a bunch of beasts. They don't even know what they're doing. But you've taken the kingdom, and you are to receive it and possess it forever and ever. Though the natural kingdoms of this world, you're going to leave that to the Jews to rise in militant power to slay until the blood runs to the horse's bridle. You'll be there, but as to your change, you don't worry about that part of it. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through the casting down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination. And our weapon is great and mighty, and one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. So then, don't worry, you are the children of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, surely to God you don't expect me to believe such fanaticism. I don't expect you to believe it. I sure don't expect you to believe it. The Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. neither can he know them. He's blinded by the ignorance within him. I certainly don't expect you to believe it, but saints of God, it's not a matter of me expecting you to believe it. You're born of it. You can't do anything else but believe it. So then you do have the kingdom. The kingdom is yours. Little flock, don't fear. God wants to give you the government, which is the kingdom. So then in giving you these wonderful things, then the government has shifted from the world to you. And now it's the wonderful God order, the new world order. And you are in a new world, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now God is going to make an end of all of the governments of the world. It's going to turn into chaos such as you have never seen. It's going to turn into chaos. And at this time, you be ready now. You be ready for that change, because that's why we preach the revelation is the breaking forth of this wonderful glory from within, as from faith to faith and glory to glory. Don't take it for granted just because you say, I'm a Christian, that you're going to make the change. I tell you not to do it. Somebody said, but I know, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Now I've done this and I've done that and I've spoken tongues, I know that. And when the translation takes place, you, some of you that have been baptized in Jesus' name will still be left, and you that spoke in tongues, you'll still be left, and you will go through the tribulation period. Oh no, somebody says, oh yes, that's the way it is. The world, they say, tell it like it is. That's like it is. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that because that's not what we teach. That's fine. That's whatever you want. Every man is a sovereignty. Believe what you will. I'm here to tell you what God said about it. And Paul said, if any of you think that you're spiritual, you're ministers, you're some special person, then you need to acknowledge that the things I say unto you are the commandments of Almighty God. So then when we come to these kind of things, we realize that a great thing is not only taking place, but a great thing has been taking place, and a great thing has taken place, and though you could never conceive of it, if I went into it in detail and begin to break it down to you in detail, then there's some of you that your eyes would sparkle. But nevertheless, I'm not detailing anything. I'm just telling you the way it is because I've already seen it, so I can tell it like it is. So then in telling it like it is as your shepherd, it happened exactly the way I said. This is why all the rain came. This is why that the floods have come. And this is why everything is in the state of chaos that it's in right now. But it's going to fur up. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be as though it never was. And people won't notice it. And it'll just go right on the same way that it's always went on. There won't be any difference. And the Bible said, and they knew not until the door was shut. They knew not. And the midnight cry is upon you. And the cry is, go ye out to meet the bridegroom, for the bridegroom is calling. It's midnight. It's midnight. Someone would say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Pike. It said he might come at midnight. It might come. He might come at the crossroads. Don't be carnal. The carnal mind is enmity with God. God isn't talking about in the middle of some natural night. The midnight cry is the darkest hour just before the dawn, when the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And right now, gross darkness is covering the people. And that midnight cry is upon you. That midnight hour is upon you. That darkness is intellectual philosophy. And it is intellectual diplomacies, and it's the old houses of evil, and it's people that are turning to their intellectual minds. It's been heady in the last days. The old serpent is intellectually heady. In the last days, they'll be heady and high-minded. So we know then that the darkest hour is here now, and everything is just right, and everything has become Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is pulling the church out. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. And if you only knew tonight how he's pulling the church out and how sure it is that he's taking the church out and what is taking the church out. And if we had time to detail it and you had the mind to listen, I don't even feel the mind among you as a whole. as a people to be able to receive it. Even tonight, though I feel good spirits and I feel concerned and I feel your love and respect, but I feel you so distant. You're still so distant, off in the distance. You're not even in shape yet to even conceive of what I'm saying. But nevertheless, press in. Press in real tight, because remember, like I told you of the vision of Nevada, when I saw the bursting of the bombs and the flashing of the light, I could count the people that made the translation on one hand as far as I could see. So strive to enter in, few there be that find it, little flock. So be sure that you're sure that you're sure. See, and press in, and don't be distant. Make sure you're calling an election. Confirm your reservation, because something is about to happen. But nevertheless, we're just here to encourage your faith a little bit, to talk to you and to tell you exactly the way that it is. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you can't know that. I shouldn't be up here preaching if I don't know that. A physician should never try to diagnose your case if he can't see beyond what you see. See, I can see that very clearly. Your spirits tell me exactly how distant you are and where you are and where you're living. And folks, you haven't even got into the camp meeting yet. You haven't got into the camp meeting yet. Usually every camp meeting, we get into the camp meeting long before now. And you haven't even got into the camp meeting yet. You've just come to camp meeting. Well, that's all right. Something has happened. Just remember what I'm telling you. Take my word for it and do something. Do something. Do something before you come back tomorrow night. All right. Let's sing this little chorus together. I've been born again, free from my sins, and I'm happy night and day. And it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I know I've been. Sing it with me. For we've been born again, not of blood, but of spirit. No, I'm happy night and day and day. I wonder if David Paul could come back over. I've been born once again now. I've been born again, free from this. I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I know. Can you sing it with me? We've been born again, free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout, oh, there is no doubt, for I know I've been born. One more time. We've been born again, free from sin, oh, I'm happy night and day. Makes me shout, there's no doubt, for I'm born again. Once again, I've been born again.